Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, so before we get to Saturday Night Live and the controversy, I want to just summarize briefly what we've been talking about on the show today. There are almost 50,000 job openings in New Orleans right now, in retail, in just all kinds of different areas. And you constantly hear people say, well, there's no jobs. Well, that's not true. There are jobs. But you don't start at the top. And sometimes you have to start over in life. And we heard some great stories, really just inspiring stories from people earlier talking about how, you know, yeah, they had to start over. Or they had to start at the bottom. One guy was graduating from college. He had a degree in chemistry and a degree in mathematics. His girlfriend got pregnant. He married her, raised his daughter, and his first job was packing coffee at the Folgers coffee plant here in New Orleans. He did the right thing. And he ultimately ended up using his 2 degrees and got a job in his field. And we've heard a couple of really inspiring stories. I'll briefly share this. Some of you know the story, some of you don't. But, you know, I've been in radio a long time. And I was in a relationship for 14 years. And I gave up radio for her. My job, a new program director came in and changed my show in Denver. So I no longer had a job. I had an offer to come back to New Orleans. She did not want to move again. She had moved all over the country with me. She'd moved to. I met her in San Antonio, moved back here to New Orleans with me, Philadelphia, Miami, Seattle, Portland, Denver. She didn't want to move again. So out of respect for us and our relationship, I gave up radio for a very brief period. I mean, I was still involved in doing some aspects of radio, but for this brief period, I wasn't doing a radio show, per se. I was doing things in the media, but not a radio show. That turned out to be the worst decision I ever made. It was terrible. I mean, I lost everything. Literally lost everything. I came back here with nothing. I came back to New Orleans with no job, no car, no place to live. And so when I had an opportunity to do part-time here on WWL, our program director, Diane Newman, gave me that shot. I took advantage of it. And I did the best job I could. And then I had the night show from 8 to midnight. Look, I was the number one disc jockey, the number one talk show host in this city. I was doing morning radio and middays on WWL in the 90s. I mean, I was number one. I'm doing nighttime radio. But I took it seriously. And I did the best job I could. And then I worked with Angela, and then things changed with Angela, and then here I am, 1 to 4 in the afternoon. So, you know, my life wasn't always, you know, perfect. But I was willing, and I want you to admire me for this. I want you to just use this as a story and a reminder that sometimes you have to suck it up. Well, I had to suck it up. I had to suck it up and do things that I wasn't used to doing. things that were, you, some would argue, were beneath me. But I never looked at it that way. When I was doing these different shows and even doing it part-time, man, I did the best job I could. And that's what you have to do, because you never know where the job's going to lead you. You never know what doors are going to open up or who you're going to meet or how things are going to turn out. When I look back on this part of my life, I am happy. I would have never wanted that to happen to me, to lose everything, to lose a relationship, to lose everything. I would never have wanted that to happen. But looking back, that was the best thing that could have happened to me, because I got to know myself better. And I love who I am. That doesn't mean I'm always happy with myself. You know, I've got some issues with me. Trust me. You think you got issues with me. I got issues with me. And I got to live with me. So, you know, you just have to do what you have to do. And if you just keep applying yourself, if you believe in yourself, then chances are you're going to succeed and end up on top. So if it's not the perfect job, just look for an opportunity to get back in it. And you never know where that's going to go. Also today, we have been talking about this new law in Utah where biological fathers are legally required to pay half of a woman's out-of-pocket pregnancy costs. And I think this is a great law. Some say that it's not good because it would cause abusive situations and women would take advantage of men. I don't know about that, but I think our society in general needs to send a message to men. And if you're a parent of a boy, a young male, talk to him. And I think it's important to let them know that they are equally responsible for any pregnancy that they become part of. And this idea that because a man can walk away biologically, he somehow can just walk away. No. And it should be emphasized so men don't even take that chance. Women shouldn't take that chance because they're the ones that end up with the baby. And so if you don't want women to have an abortion, then you have to support this idea that it's easier to bring life into the world. So I love the idea of holding males equally accountable. And I hope if you're a parent, I hope you emphasize that with your son. That if anything happens, you are equally responsible. And maybe that would cause them to maybe not do something or certainly not take a chance and do something, knowing that they would be equally responsible. So I think that's a message that needs to be part of our society. Saturday Night Live. I watched it Saturday night, and it was very funny. Well, some of it's kind of corny. I mean, no Saturday Night Live is funny all the way through. I mean, even back in the old days, it wasn't funny all the way through. But there's some funny stuff on the show. Saturday night, they had the game show, the vaccine game show. And this episode was titled, Will You Take It? And it was about a black host who's a doctor. And he's playing the game with four black family members. And it's all about them getting the shot. And they refuse to get the shot. At one point, he offers a $500 cash prize. And then I think at one point, somebody said, I'll take the shot. I'll take the shot. And then when it really came down to it, no, it's not worth it. I won't take the shot. Then I think they went up to like $20,000 at one point, and they wouldn't take the shot. So it was all about the reality that there are African-American people in this country who do not want to take the shot. And many of them are skeptical. And they're skeptical in part because of the Tuskegee syphilis study. And if you're not familiar with this, we have to remind you about this, because this did not end until 1972. This doesn't go back to slavery. This project did not end until 1972. And it is appalling. It is embarrassing. Then President Bill Clinton apologized to black Americans for what the government had done, and rightfully so, because we should apologize for that. And it was horrible. But it is a legitimate reason why a lot of black Americans are skeptical about getting the shot. But it's 2021, and things have changed. And so we'll talk about that. But, I mean, I think it was okay for them to do a joke about this, because it kind of reinforces that we've got a problem here. So the question is, did Saturday Night Live go too far? I don't think they did. I think it was okay to do a joke about this, and I don't think people should be taking it so personally. Now, a lot of people laughed, but there were a few complaints, and a few complaints came from even from doctors, saying this is not fair. Well, comedy is based on reality. And it's almost as if they want to deny the reality, therefore they don't want comedy about the reality. Anyway, if you want to join us with your comment, and if you saw it, I'd love to know what you thought of it. The WWL Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on. You know, so often when I'm watching a show like Saturday Night Live, I mean, I'm laughing, but, you know, I realize, like, okay, man, this is, like, really bad. But, you know, it's funny. It's comedy. And so there was criticism of this skit, and I'm really not surprised. So the question is, did Saturday Night Live cross the line when the skit was done about black Americans who refused to get the COVID vaccine? Now, look, let's just go back very briefly to this experiment that the federal government was involved in. It was called the Tuskegee Syphilis Study. When I first learned about this, I was absolutely appalled. And there's no justification for this, but it happened. Government medical workers allowed black men with syphilis to go untreated for decades. The program began in 1932. It did not end until 1972, after the Associated Press revealed it to the public. It resulted in a $9 million settlement. In 1970, I'm not really sure where the money went, I guess, to the men. In 1997, then President Bill Clinton issued this apology. Quote, "I am sorry that your federal government orchestrated a study so clearly racist. That can never be allowed to happen again. It is against everything our country stands for, and what we must stand against is what it was." And that is one of the reasons why a lot of black Americans are skeptical about the government giving them a shot, or the government supporting a shot that they would get. I understand that. But it's 2021, and a lot has changed. And as appalling as that was, as wrong as that was, and, you know, when we talk about, you know, racial tension, you know, again, this did not end until 1972. It wasn't that long ago. And blacks were looked at as a medical experiment. I mean, how could our government have done that? But our government did that. This is not an opinion. This is not like a conspiracy theory. This is factually supported. But it's a different world today. And the vaccination seems to be working. There's a lot of evidence that it works. And everybody needs to get it. But the fact that Saturday Night Live had fun with this, I mean, you know, again, they were just, the whole idea was, will you take it? That was the question on the game show, the vaccine game show. Will you take it? And the host, who was also, you know, playing the part of a doctor, was talking to these four black Americans, all part of the same family. Will you take the shot? And he would say differently. Look, I'll give you $500. Okay, well, yeah. No, it's not worth it. So they were mocking the fact that some people won't get it. But in doing this bit, they reinforce what really is. They reinforce the idea that there are a lot of people who won't get it because they're skeptical of the government. And so by knowing that reality, that's the best way to fight against the people who are not wanting to get the shot. Because the vaccine is going to help you. First time I mentioned that we were going to talk about this later in the show, I had a call in the first hour of the show from a man who said, you know, he's black, his wife is black, they got the vaccination. So it's not a case of, like, all blacks won't get it. There are some black Americans who are so skeptical that they refuse to get the shot. And when you think about something like the Tuskegee Syphilis Study, perpetrated by our government, you can't help but understand that, yeah, some people are skeptical. But times have changed, and that's the message that needs to get to everybody, because the more people that get vaccinated, the better off we seem to be. If you would like to join us, the WWL Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Harahan. And Jack, welcome to the show. I'm sorry, Jacob. Hey, Jacob.
Oh, good enough. Hey, it's cool. First thing first, I wanted to big you up from coming from the bottom. That's what I told the producer, the person who asked the call. It's pretty much, you know, I definitely respect that, you know. What we call that is betting on yourself. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, I'll start with this, even though you may or may not have been paid what you was worth in the previous, but, you know, you're here now. I appreciate yourself, no doubt. But as I started listening more, I said, well, Scooter's saying some interesting things. This is one thing I wanted to add to with the Tuskegee experience. Now, you just let me know if I'm reaching. But people who were in the 80s when a crack epidemic hit, right? They made real strict laws on the crack epidemic. But now we have these opioid type things, and now it's not so much of a strict type thing. So, and I'm reaching, but that's just another thing to kind of add on to. Not to say that the government is responsible for drugging Black Americans like they did with the Tuskegee.
Well, if that's true, I don't know about it. I mean, there are conspiracy theories that the government gave drugs to blacks to try to put them in a situation that was less than whites.
Make no mistakes. I'm definitely not saying that. I have any sources that I can prove that the government gave drugs to blacks. Only thing I'm doing is making a parallel. So let's say if you were born in 1980 to this date and we're in 2021, you should be about 41 right now, okay? Now, and I would say in about 2009, there was just opioid epidemic almost, to where everyone was on Molly's, Percocets, and this, that, and the third. The only thing is, when you would have a lot of black folks on crack, it was hard punishment for those who selling it, as well as those who so pretty much taking it. Now, when it came to the 2009 or the 2000 after the millennium, when it was, a lot of white folks per se would be on a crack epidemic. A lot of white folks would be on opioids. Now they started to do more things like having Narcan. Cops will come, you know.
You're touching on something that is very real. There's certainly evidence that indicates that our system of justice has been racist. That a white person with marijuana is treated differently from a black person with marijuana in general. I know there are exceptions to everything. So you're bringing up something that it's a bit of a different topic, but it's something that I recognize as well. So, you know, let's go ahead and you and I can agree that there has not been fairness when it comes to blacks and whites, when it comes to our system of justice. Right. And that's something that needs to change like immediately.
So what I'll do is I'll just tie it back to your actual related statement. Like I said, first and foremost, wanted to give you big ups on the fact that you work, because, I mean, I have the same type of thing that I've done, and, you know, I need no accolades, nothing like that. You guys don't need to know me. So I definitely was bigging you up for that. But it's just another side that I just wanted you to look at is that you do have some people that that's why they would say, hey, no, I'm not doing this, you know. Now, myself, obviously, you can hear my voice. I'm black, right? I took the shot, and them doggone things hurt like hell.
Well, hey, you know what? It hurt me, so it's nice to know that it hurts black people, too, you know, because it hurt me.
You know what I'm saying? But
there's equality.
So I'll tell you this. I'll tell you my second logic of it, and I'll let it go next, so the next call will come up, you know. But my whole logic on that, I said, well, hey, in reality, the government, we think that the people control the government. I think it's the exact opposite way, because the government can still put it in on board, whatever.
You know, I have my suspicions.
Right. This is my concluding point. You know, like, especially like if you get arrested, or if you want a chance to go to school, or even if you go to McDonald's, you know what I mean? When you go to McDonald's, a lot of people don't know they need drink tap water from McDonald's. But I'm just, you know, that's just that. But like I said, that's my 2 cent scoop. Big ups to you working your way up from bottom. You proved yourself. You had to start back from the bottom after Katrina, and then you worked yourself back up to the top.
Well, Jacob, I appreciate the call, and you know, I'm basically in agreement with what you're saying about the system of justice, which is not fair, and we need to fix that right away. I do appreciate the call. You know, I didn't even mention this too, but you know, I started out at the bottom. You know, I've told you this story before. When I first started in radio, nobody listened to FM in the morning. Nobody. Nobody listened in the morning. So what they decided to do was, since I was so inexperienced and so bad, they put me on in the morning. Yeah, we'll put him in the morning because nobody listens in the morning. Well, guess what? I started doing a show that worked, and I started getting ratings. And like, they're slapping their foreheads going, what the hell's going on here? And so, as far as I know, I mean, there was nobody else in the country doing a personality-driven show in the morning on FM, because all the good people were on at night and in the afternoon. They didn't put anybody good on in the morning. Well, they threw me on there in the morning. I thought, what the hell? I'm just going to do the best show I can. And I did. And so, you know, sometimes you, well, not sometimes, usually almost always you have to start at the bottom. And that's okay. You know, you just suck it up. And if you do the best job you can succeed in this country. Very quickly, let's go to Ian Hoke with a couple of quick text messages.
Hey, Scoot, I'm a black American, and I found the SNL skit hilarious. Why is it that the people who are always offended by certain topics or subjects aren't even part of that particular targeted group? Sometimes I think it's just guilt. It makes them look bad, and that's why they complain.
You know, it's true. You know, comedy often exposes a harsh, painful reality. And that's what happens here. The fact that they did this bit doesn't change the reality that there are black Americans who don't want to get the shot. And they should get the shot. But they don't want to. And this comedy just, it reflects that reality. It didn't cause that. It's not making fun of it. It's just, you know, bringing it to light.
From what I can see, as long as it's done by black people, then they can do whatever they want. However, if white people tried to do the same skit, it would be labeled racist.
Well, if white people did it, it wouldn't be funny. You know, it's not funny. It's not funny for a white comedian to get on stage and make fun of blacks. It's funny for Chris Rock to do it. So, you know, this is just like obvious, just this is the fundamentals of comedy, which, you know, a lot of people, I guess, just fail to grasp.
I'm a big fan and a regular listener. I don't believe it's the place for me, Scoot, or any other white person to decide whether or not black people should be upset about the SNL skit. When it comes to racism against black people, white people should just shut the hell up and listen.
Well, I understand that. I can only speak for myself, and I know that, look, the criticism was not so widespread that it was obvious that this was a bad bit. It's like people are looking for reasons to complain about something, and I think that was the case here. That's my opinion. That's my observation. All right, if you've got a comment, the WWL Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. On this day in 1983, Ronald Reagan's Secretary of the Interior, James Watt, canceled an appearance by a rock band in Washington, D.C. for Independence Day because he said the band would attract an undesirable element. 1983, 4th of July, Reagan administration celebration. This is the band that was originally canceled because they were going to attract an undesirable element. Seriously, the Beach Boys. Well, wisdom prevailed. James Watt was a real piece of work. I mean, there was controversy with James Watt in the Reagan White House, but you know, they changed their minds, and I think the Beach Boys did ultimately end up performing. But wait, the Beach Boys are going to attract an undesirable element? You don't know what the hell you're talking about. time, Scoots. Oh, when we come back, a moment that may mark the very earliest beginning of grunge. It's coming up next on WWL. This is a song from a band in the early 80s in Seattle, Washington. The band is Malfunction, spelled Malfunction. And many people believe that this is one of the bands that marked the very beginning of the grunge era. Now, grunge didn't really come to America until the early 90s. So this was 10 years before that, and here's a band that was formed by a guy named Andrew Wood. The music of this band had such an impact on Andrew Wood's roommate, Chris Cornell. Chris Cornell went on to form Soundgarden. Andrew Wood then moved to another band, Mother Love Bone. I don't know what that means. The band was Mother Love Bone. He died of a heart attack in 1990. And then the group brought in a guy named Eddie Vedder and changed the name to Pearl Jam. So the guy that formed the band Malfunction on this day in 1980 really kind of marks the earliest beginning of grunge. I just thought that was kind of fascinating. Hey, you know, we've been talking about the government, and you can't trust the government because of the Tuskegee syphilis study. That's not the only time the government has been manipulative. Odyssey Pineapple Street Studios has teamed up with Emmy Award-winning documentarian Nina Seavey. There's a must-listen-to, binge-worthy podcast, My Fugitive. She recounts her decades-long quest to expose the FBI's assault on America's youth during the Vietnam War and ends up uncovering the agency's obstruction of justice in the assassination investigation of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Nina Seavey was 12 years old in 1970. And on May 5th in that year, that was the day the Army building burned to the ground during a protest on the campus of Washington University in St. Louis. Her father was a civil rights attorney. He represented one of the students arrested. The student was charged, convicted, and sentenced to 5 years in a federal penitentiary for a crime that no one ever heard of. He fled and became the second longest fugitive in U.S. history. My Fugitive is an 8-part podcast series of this tangled story of her search for answers. And there are documents that have been released from hundreds of Freedom of Information Act requests, and she unveils this web of FBI surveillance, confidential informants, Russian moles, conspiracy theories, and a murder of a civil rights icon, and the sacrifices that America makes in the name of national security. It's available now on the app Odyssey. Audacy. This is binge worthy. An 8-part podcast series, My Fugitive. Listen to it when you can. Let's go to, hey, do we still have Jay? Okay, let's go to Jay and Harvey. Hey, Jay, welcome to WWL.
Hey, Scoot, how are you?
I'm good.
Good, good. Hey, listen, Scoot, I was calling in reference to the Tuskegee syphilis study topic that you're talking about today. Mm-hmm. And this is what I want to say. You keep saying that this is 2021, and perhaps Black American men shouldn't feel the same way about the federal government that they did back in the 40s, in 42 through 72. Well, here's the problem that I have with that. You couldn't trust the government back then, Black Americans, and you can't trust them now because nothing has changed. The mentality, the fact that some people think that Black men will always be inferior to white men, that hasn't changed. It was prevalent back then, and it's still prevalent now. So why in the world would anyone with an ounce of sense trust or respect the government now?
Well, Jay, I'm going to have to get to a break here. Jay, I have to get to a break.
I'm a black man.
I get it.
I've been vaccinated. My wife, many people in my family, we've already been vaccinated.
Well, if you can't trust the government, then why did you do that?
We didn't. didn't get vaccinated because we trust the government. We got vaccinated because there were several prominent African Americans, such as former President Barack Obama, such as Tyler Perry, numerous others who I respect tremendously, and they came out in support of the vaccine.
And Jay,
trust their leadership, and we trust their opinion, and that's the only reason why we got the vaccine.
So, Jay, what you're saying is that America has changed in some ways, and Barack Obama and others told you that America has changed. And so when it comes to something like a medical vaccination, you can trust the government. Can you trust the government in general? No. And I agree with much of what you have to say. I've got to get to a break here. Look, this is not the last time we're going to have this this conversation. In a lot of ways, the government has changed and things are different. On this day in 1967, the first master tape of the album Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band was finished. And the Beatles insisted that there were no gaps between the tracks, which was an unbelievable idea at the time, that all the songs kind of ran together. And then, of course, it was a big theme album as well. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. To the last caller we had, Jay from Harvey. Jay, look, I understand how you feel, and I don't disagree with you. I do believe that things have changed. We still have a long way to go, but things have changed. And if you and your family have gotten the vaccine, then that really does prove that there are people that are telling you that the government's changed and you can trust the government. What happened with the Tuskegee syphilis experiment was just deplorable. I mean, there's no justification for that whatsoever. And that's one of the fundamental reasons that a lot of Black Americans don't trust the government. I mean, when I say don't trust the government, I think we can trust the government when it comes to promoting the vaccine, but I don't think we can trust the government in general. All right. So, Ian, did we get any calls or any text on any locations on the King Cone?
Most of the texts that we got about today were bad puns. Thank you for your contributions, but we don't have any hot tips on where the cone is or when it's going to be returned.
All right. Well, this 8-foot orange traffic cone has been stolen. It's been cone napped, and I'm offering cash. I'm putting up my own money. I'm offering cash for the return, the safe return of King Cone.
It's a conspiracy.
It's a cone. Exactly.
It's a criminal conspiracy.
So really, I'm offering, this is my money, I figured out as much as I could offer, $37.50 for the safe return of the cone. And you can get in touch with us. You can send me an email, scoot@wwl.com. No questions will be asked. We just want the 8-foot cone back.
You can email us in complete confidence.
Yes. I love that. Yes. There's a lot going on here. All right. It's time for another Odyssey National Cash Contest code word. The code word this hour is bike. Text BIKE to 72881. Text BIKE to 72881. That qualifies you to win $1,000 in cash. You could be the next winner. The next free cash code word comes up before the top of the hour news at 5 o'clock during Sports Talk. And we never charge for text, but individual plan text and data rates may apply. And please don't text and drive. Join me live on Scoot on the Air Instagram tonight. And I want to thank our program director, Diane Newman, market manager, Kevin Cassidy, our show producer, Todd Manassas, and our senior studio producer, Ian Hoke. And as always, thank you for being part of our show. And also a special thanks to the first-time callers we had today. Have a great afternoon. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!